Here's your hosts, the first celebrities to adopt a Malawian baby. It's Corey and Joel.
Okay, all right, we're back with you. Welcome back into the Corey and Joel radio show.
How are you?
Another big show for you today. I'm Joel.
I'm Corey.
That's Corey over there.
And with us again.
Yes, our guest is
It's been a while. Nice to see you.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm good.
Steve Sabo is here, great comedian.
The caffeinated voice of reason.
My return, yes, to the Corey and Joel show, my second appearance.
Yeah, you're back. It's been a while. We had a lot of good response on you. Remember that? You went in the forum and everyone was yelling at you. It was funny.
Yeah, I've actually gotten a lot of bad response from girls I dated for that show.
Yeah, well, that's what that'll happen.
And that's the tyranny of doing a podcast, yes. And this is music from the Killers.
This is new Killers on their album, Sam's Town. You can go get that if you want it.
I have that in my car. Do you have the bonus disc on it?
I think it does. I don't know.
The bonus disc is better than the actual album.
A lot of talk about how they're doing Springsteen. I'm not really hearing it. But
yeah, that doesn't sound like Springsteen at all, this crap.
I haven't heard this new album yet, so.
All right, well, anyway, there it is. The new Killers.
These guys are welcome. These guys show. Are good live. I've seen them.
They were on Saturday Night Live with and they look kind of creepy on.
Oh, yeah, really? they changed their.
They
look
grew
a
beards
bit.
And stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what that was all about.
They
I was
look
like,
Koresh now. They're very compoundy and
very odd.
They have a weird look. So you got flack from girls you dated on the show because
I did.
It was a lot of like your sexual exploits and I'm in the hotel.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Was it those chicks or was it more like?
Well, it's more like.
See, I don't know how you got in trouble after you stole the story about sodomizing a girl and then kicking her out on the street.
That's the one I got the trouble for. And see, here's the problem is that these would be girls that I'd hooked up with once, or I'd dated and not hooked up with, or that you know, or anybody that I may have been seeing at that moment. You know what I mean? These girls are like. They sit there and they go, like, how much of that is real? How much is it isn't real? But they don't understand. These are stories I told you over, like, a 16-year career period.
This is not.
And they're acting like it all happened yesterday or something.
For those of you who might not have heard the previous show Steve was on, Steve is a comedian.
Yes.
He's the booker of a comedy empire that spans much of Ohio and Indiana and Illinois. And
Michigan
too. Yeah, and, a Midwestern comedy booking.
Mostly, I get stuff as low as Huntsville, Alabama, right now.
Right,
maybe Florida, as high as North Dakota. But
and a noted coxman.
A noted coxman.
Yes, absolutely. That's Steve's bio right there. You gonna look up what number Steve?
Yeah,
was
I'm
on?
Trying to figure out. I think it was maybe 55.
It was in the 50s. Yeah,
I think it was 55. Yeah,
let me tell you,
it was show number 55. Steve at the Beaver. That was the name of the show.
Wow, that was a while. I mean, this is we're in the 90s now. So
yeah,
okay. Yeah, here's what we talked about on the last show. Steve's scheme for becoming a millionaire.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Is that still going good?
What was I up to then?
You had a MySpace post about that recently.
Yeah, I just crossed 400. Nobody, not of the 300 and some people I have on MySpace, not a single person sent me a penny off that, which is sad.
I'm stunned by that. Steve has a gimmick where he has a website called I Want My $2.
Yeah, I Want My $2.net.
Yeah.
Yeah, because .com was taken, which was bizarre. And every other way of writing I Want My $2.com was taken. There's like 9 different ways you could write that.
Maybe some other guy I'll had this it. Get rich quick scheme. Maybe somebody else did.
I don't know.
I can't believe Russ didn't think of this.
No, I'm sure Russ is the guy who owns the .com.
Hey!
Well, whoever owns it aren't using it. They're it's just purchased, you know. It's like one of those things where they bought all these things, and I hate that because they want to sell it to you for like $500 or sure. $5,000.
Yeah,
I'm
you
got to
get your
that.
Own name back.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
So that's
you want people to send you $2.
Yes.
That's the gist of it.
Yeah, and for no reason whatsoever, but just to send me $2 so I can become a millionaire. That's the brilliance of the scheme.
And you've got $400 or you had 400 people who sent it in?
Oh, not 400 people. I don't know how many people because some people might send us like a couple cents. I've had as low as like 20 cents, but I've also gotten as much as $12.34.
Okay.
Some people just – so now, average is about $2.
I heard of a guy on the internet, and I have to look this story up now, but there was a guy who like traded stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
he
I've heard
traded
about
like
that
a paperclip.
Started with a paperclip, and he got like a
he
house.
Got a house. He got a house. Yeah,
he traded all the way up to a house.
Yeah.
So
he got a house, but he also got. Did you know that like somehow Alice Cooper got involved in that, and that's what happened?
I don't know about that.
No, it's true. He eventually got it to where it was like One of the trades was like an afternoon golfing with Alice Cooper.
Right.
That somebody traded him for something that he had. He auctioned the Alice Cooper, you know, and then he traded that up with like an Alice Cooper fan.
Right.
He didn't give
right.
a fuck about Alice
How
Cooper.
How big of an Alice Listen Cooper on. Fan do you have to be? There's
I don't know, but he wasn't an Alice Cooper fan, but an Alice Cooper yeah. fan is the one, like, that's where he made this, like, quantum leap.
Right.
On it.
And I guess I was going to say that's, but. The beginning of that had to be hard. Like, yeah. starting with a paperclip, what are you going to work up to, a dime at best?
Yeah, I mean, it started like, but it started in his hometown, and then it became sort of a net sensation.
Right, right.
But see, people, if that got big, people would give you the money just for the publicity.
Right, right.
You know, mm-hmm. like, there's like those online casinos and stuff, and they'll just give, you know, they'll sponsor sure. wacky shit. Like, sure. you ever see, like, if somebody puts like a piece of bread that's shaped like the Pope?
Right, right.
A lot of times, like, goldenpalace.com will fucking buy that. Just
I don't even know what
they
Golden Palace, they're like written on the back of every boxer and fighter in
yeah,
the world.
Yeah,
I don't even know what they do.
Like that. It's an online casino. You can go and bet
it's
on
just
stuff.
And didn't they make it harder on online casinos now? That you
yeah, I don't know exactly.
They cut down their transfer of money?
Yeah, they got rid of, like, they're getting rid of, like, poker rooms and stuff like that online.
Really?
Yeah, there's a weird government crackdown.
They're ruining
and
everything.
And online gambling.
Huh.
That's right. But me and Corey will be proud to take your football bets. So send them right in. We're going to get some action.
Absolutely.
We need some
publicity.
This is
a weird football year. It doesn't make any sense. You can't really go on logic for this year.
As far as what? The NFL?
I think so.
Even
for college games.
You certainly can't for our fantasy league. I'll tell you that much.
We got our whole fantasy. We talked about that.
Well, if you look at how the Steelers were number one, and now they're in like one of the worst teams in the
The Steelers
the league,
aren't doing well. They've got two wins. It's just one more than the Lions, which is not hard to do.
the Lions
Steelers aren't
one.
Good. You know, the New Orleans Saints are good for some reason.
Right, right. Out of nowhere.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers suck. They were like undefeated after seven games last year.
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah, there's a lot of weird. There's a little bit of weird stuff.
The Colts are winning, but they're not winning the way they should be winning.
They're almost losing.
Yeah, almost every game.
Not dominating people anymore. So I don't know. Yeah. I like football, though. I like the fantasy. I like the whole thing.
It is a bad, bad year, and particularly if you lose to Sal's team.
Who's Sal's team?
Sal's not even playing. Like, Sal and Bill are such retards, they don't even know how to
we
use
We have a fantasy
internet.
Football league right. with the guys from our show, like me and Corey and our announcer, Rob.
Sure.
Some of our fans are on it. PJ's on it. So Sal and Bill wanted to join it. And then they don't manage their team, which means they don't put players in, and so they lose every week, and it's kind of a big pain in the ass.
Except Sal beat PJ, and he had like four guys.
Sal beat PJ, and Sal had like four guys, and PJ's like 8-man squad got their asses kicked.
But see, that's a lot of work, though. That's why I could never do it, because you got to pay attention to who everybody is.
Yeah, sort of, but it's not real hard. You spend maybe.
But you got people from like every team, so you got like, you know, you got to. Get the injury list on like 17 teams.
The computer, they update you on all that stuff. It's really not that hard. You spend an hour a week, and then part of it's dumb luck. That's what makes it fun.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And these fucking guys just don't play. And I should we stop talking about it? Because it seems like we've been beating
We've been hammering it, and let's let it go.
We've been beating a dead horse. Let's talk about it. We haven't even gotten to the bottom of Steve's girlfriends. We got to get to that.
We do. There's a lot to do.
What is going on with that? Because you know what I think a lot of it was, though, Steve? Was that You had a long-term girlfriend that everybody kind of knew.
Yes.
And then when that ended, we weren't sure who the new girlfriend was.
Right.
And I had met a couple different girls.
It was like the Pope. We were waiting for smoke. we were all sitting outside of the Bowling Green Club waiting for the white smoke to emerge. We were like, who would be crowned as the new Miss Sabo?
But then I saw you in the Toledo Club with a girl, and I told that story,
right.
I think, where we went and played pool, and she gave you her underwear when you beat her.
Right, 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 right.
But you said that wasn't the girlfriend?
No, not at all, no.
See, I don't know who the girlfriend is. I have no idea.
See, it's kind of like this. No. No, it's very easy to say. Right now, I am as single as can be. I'm 100% single. I have no girlfriends and nothing.
Ladies, if you're coming out to the Comedy Castle, it's going to be too late by the time.
No, it's kind of like, but like, that thing with my ex was like 2.5 years ago.
Right.
It doesn't feel like it, but it was. It was 2.5 years ago. And I kind of had a period where, and not that it's ever gone away, but I kind of like don't trust women and I hate women and everything like that. And so I dated a lot of different women and then I would dump them, you know, when I could.
Sure.
You know, or, you know, sometimes they'd stick around if they weren't a pain in the ass, you know.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't like I ever really, I mean, they all knew that. Just by dating me, a lot of women they have this belief that they can change somebody and that they're going to be a different person.
Yeah,
you know, but it's really not true. And eventually, they realize that I don't want anything serious with them.
Well,
and they either go or what.
I'll tell you what, on this girl that you were with for a long time,
yeah,
you are a master because you pulled her out of Nebraska.
Yeah, I did.
First of all, you found a hot girl in Nebraska, and that's pretty much a miracle.
No, actually, you'd be surprised. There are really hot girls out there.
But she was so eager to get out of that horrible, horrible dust covered wasteland.
So eager that she would hook up with
me. Hook up with Sabo and live. Literally, you guys lived in an old converted Days Inn the smallest apartment in the history of the world.
We did have a tiny apartment.
You had to step outside to fart. It was the smallest place.
It was. We had a pinball machine and five cats at one point in time.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, it was. We had.
And she had to leave.
So that's why I say you're a noted cocksman.
Right, but
you really have tremendous skills.
Well, actually, I I'm not gonna go into that. I'm not gonna go into that. I was just gonna say I was recently dating a girl for a few months that ended up cheating on me badly. So I'm not even
really.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna go into that.
How
situation.
Do you cheat on badly? I mean, what's badly?
Well, here's badly when they've been doing it for like the entire time that you were dating and you dated for 5 months. That would be bad.
Okay. Well,
like from day
I'll
one through. But here's what happened.
Was it with a black? Is that what you're saying?
No, no.
It was with a darkie.
That would be bad for Corey.
What I mean was that I busted her on it. I found out about it, and her response was, "Yeah, but I've been faithful for almost a whole month." I'm like, "You're out of your freaking mind! A month?
Wow!
Are you kidding me? Like that makes the first 5 months okay? That is ridiculous.
And it's all okay."
See, because now you know it hurts when somebody cheats, Steve. Do you understand
I'm not,
that now? Does that change your ways at all?
I wasn't a cheater, yeah. Per se.
I heard she was horrible, though.
Yeah.
They called her Camel Toe.
All right, no,
that's what I heard they called her.
It was. I was a guy that just wouldn't settle down more than anything else. I mean, there's a lot of women.
You're a happening dude. Come on. You do comedy in the Midwest. Come on.
I was a wild and crazy guy. It's just that, like, I would date women and not really get seriously involved with them. You know, I would just, you know, for the longest time, I would just date a lot of different women. And just because I really don't like people and I really don't like women, you know. But
you love women. You love getting laid.
I'll say I love pussy. I hate women. There's a big difference between those 2 points.
And that's the new CD. From Steve Sable. I love pussy, but I hate women.
Yeah.
No, because it's.
Wouldn't it be great if you could go to Walmart and pull like get a doll like Jeff Foxworthy, the Steve Sabo doll, and you just pull the string and it's like, I love pussy, but I hate women.
Maybe the big catchphrase. No, but see, you got to understand is that it's not that. Look. Guys are scumbags, and I won't deny that. But at least guys all play on like an even plane, a semi-fair plane. You know what I mean?
Dude,
don't
you
think?
Look into a talking doll. You've got so much other merchandise.
I do.
Why not the talking Steve Sabo doll?
Yeah, big forehead just floating around out there.
Let's see some titties.
Show your boobs. No, but you're not even following what I'm saying.
I'm listening to your story, brother. It's a story of pain and hurt.
It is, but you got to understand is that like women will. Here's the thing that women do that gets me is women like men. If men lie, they'll either lie or deny straight up. Right? Okay. They'll say, "Were you with that girl?" The guy's like, "No, I didn't really know that girl." Or they'd be like, "Going, oh, I was with Tony." But the girl they'll tell you just as much much of a truth that you would believe that the rest of it is true.
Like what? They'll say they were with the guy, but they didn't fuck him.
My ex used to do this as a great example. Her best thing would be like I'd say because I was worried about it because she used to drink a lot,
okay.
And I'd say if you're going out with your girlfriends, make sure you only have a couple drinks if you're going to drive, or have somebody else drive you home. Right? You know, not like drive you home, but you
sensible,
know I mean.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
So she come home. She goes, "Hey, I only had 2 beers," and I'm like, "Oh, that's great," but implying she only had 2 drinks. But she didn't have 2 drinks. She had 2 beers, 6 shots, and 4 mixed drinks.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And that's a freaking lie. But it's enough of a story that you'd go, she wouldn't tell. Because 2 beers, that's maybe
she's
you shouldn't drive. Maybe you should. Right.
But,
you know what I mean?
Okay.
But it's that type of a thing. Like this last girl I dated, one of the things that she did was that she told me that her ex-boyfriend stopped over at her house and that she kicked him out after 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Right? Which, you know. You go, oh, well, why would she mention that to me? Because she wouldn't have to mention that to me. But she didn't kick him out after 20 minutes. She did, but then called him back, and everything was true except for, you know, they ended up spending the night together. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. You know, that's a bunch of crap.
Right.
You know what I mean? But she told me stuff that she shouldn't have to tell me. Do you know what I mean?
But does the thing with the ex, is that one of those things that doesn't count Is it one of those things where it only counts if it's like a new lay? Because, I mean, there are guys who have the same thing.
See,
like, they can bang their exes, but if they're with a girl, they can't meet anyone new. Everything in the past,
I put the sex back
count.
In ex, frankly.
Yeah.
I do. That's important.
But you feel the same way, Corey, that if it's an ex, it's okay if it's something you had before the
Absolutely,
other one?
Absolutely, yeah. No, I mean...
No,
I mean,
that's okay?
Not currently. I mean, not, you know, I would never say that now.
I think that
Attention, Amy.
My
this
feeling
is not an endorsement of any practices. I have a girl. This is weird. I do have a girlfriend, and for the first time on the show, I really care.
You and I have girlfriends, and Sabo doesn't.
Yeah, that's,
what happened?
That's surprising,
okay.
Actually. No, to me, it's if you've laid down, if you said, we're only going to be with each other, that's it, you know, then that's what it means. Exes could be somebody else. I think exes are more harmful than the others because you actually have an emotional attachment to them.
Oh,
I think,
maybe.
To me, it's better to bang an anonymous skank than, you know, somebody that you had feelings for.
I understand that, but I think with women, though, I think in their minds, the ex is like an acceptable thing.
You think so?
I think to a lot of women, I think they feel that
way.
Well,
I don't know. Let's be honest. We've all gone back to exes.
Right, but I mean, how many girls do you know that talk to their ex-boyfriends? Probably almost all of them.
Yeah.
But a lot of guys will date girls, and they're like, I broke up with her on a Saturday night, and I haven't seen her since, and that was 8 years ago, and I don't even know where she is.
And that's usually my perspective,
and that's
too.
The way a lot of guys are, but it seems like most chicks are like, you know. So I was talking to my ex the other day. It's like, why are you calling your ex?
Yeah,
I don't
what
get
is
that.
It? Why?
Like,
what
guys
purpose?
Get, even if guys get dumped by a girl, usually they just.
Oh, no. They'll never. Look, first of all, it's somebody who can change a tire, pick them up from the airport, you know.
Yeah, I understand that.
Somebody who can lift furniture. You never give up a guy. You always keep your talons in them to a certain extent. I hear what you're saying. That's completely true.
But I mean, you've dated girls or whatever where it's just like you don't know where they are, they could be dead. You have no idea. I mean, is
one
that...
or two. Most of the girls I've dated, I know where they are.
I'd say 90%, easily 95% of the girls I've dated or slept with or whatever, I have no idea,
what
state they're in.
Hey.
Including the ex that I dated.
Yeah,
really
you don't even know where she
you know,
is.
Some of us aren't party time bubble boy gigolos like you, though. I mean, you know, you're like...
Party time bubble boy
I don't
gigolo.
Even... I mean, if you don't remember the name of a you know, Shoney's waitress in... some random spot in Tennessee, then that's not a shocker because you didn't know her name to begin with. Most of the girls I've dated, by which I mean I bought them bacon and eggs before I put it in their ass.
Well,
come on.
I'm talking if I actually dated.
Steve, you're just exposing a sensitive side, which frankly I wasn't sure you had.
No.
I've never known you to have feelings, and so therefore this is very difficult. No. Actually, I do. If you go on the road with Steve,
yeah,
you'll hear all this.
Yeah.
All
right. I'm actually way more sensitive than I come off as. I come off as a complete jerk, but I.
But can we drive to Iowa with this guy and it'll it'll be like my so-called life. You'll be hearing his journal, his daily diary entry about Jordan Catalano and.
Are you saying you're not dating women, or are you just not even like? Are you not going out with chicks, or what's going on there?
Currently right now.
Yeah.
I have no women that I have any interaction with.
Really? So if you're home, it's a Saturday night, and normally you're working, but say you're at home and it's Saturday night and you want to do something with a chick, do you have a chick that you would call right now? Do you have
I have a couple female friends I could do something with. But,
okay, but not like...
But if I wanted to stick it in her ass...
If you're looking to get laid, you don't even have an outlet.
This is very sad,
point.
Folks. Well, this is very sad. I'm actually getting a little choked up.
I mean, I could. I mean, potentially I know some women that have... things for me I could call. But
yeah.
Steve, we have some friends in town. We can call, you want to call Cherry Brooklyn?
You mean if Steve can't get laid, we got to throw him one while he's in town?
It's not that I have a hard time hooking up.
I'll suck your dick real good, brother.
You want to fuck her? She's hot.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually Corey.
You know I've never had a problem, you know, dating or finding women. It's just that I'm kind of fed up with the bullshit right now, you know.
Well,
I just,
there's a lot of bullshit you got to deal with.
You know,
you're hearing the sound of a wounded gigolo.
No,
listen to you. This is so sad. It's the sensitive underbelly of the snapping turtle.
That's not the impression I'm trying to give off. But it's kind of like
I feel for you. You're a wounded animal.
This is the man who loved women over here, Steve Sabo.
Come off.
This is the guy who's like confessing all of his.
We are such soulless. By the way, here's Steve trying to be tender and sad, and we're like.
Yeah, you fucking faggot, yeah.
I'm not even trying to do that, but it's like I know that like that last time I was on the show, a couple women that I dated for a little short period of time,
yeah.
they were wounded because they thought I dated you for 4 or 5 months and you're just a scumbag.
Yeah. How did they know you did this? That's what amazes
me.
Well,
but see, I get that too, because we had a thing where, you know, my girlfriend Kim and I were broken up for a long time, and I never talked about it on the show. Mm-hmm. And she was on the show all the time, and we talked about her. And then she wasn't on the show, and a couple fans got like kind of like where it happened to her.
Right.
So I came on, and I said, well, we had gotten sort of back together, so I said we were apart for a few months. And in that few months, I dated a couple other girls. Well, the next thing you know, that show goes up. And me and Corey think sometimes that not a soul listens to the show. We're shocked that anyone does. Literally, I got calls and emails and all kinds of bullshit.
What, did you forget you had a girlfriend, Joel?
There she is right there. That's Kim. So, you know, it's always, and then it was just a lot of garbage, and it's kind of like, I didn't even mention people's names. I was like, so I was at this party, and I met this girl, and then, like, she's calling me.
Right.
What the hell happened?
People hear that, I don't know.
Well, I know with me is that people, they do, like, Google searches on me. Like,
you know, that works really well. This will be the first thing in Google.
This comes up really high.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
For things. And that's like, and that's one of the things that, and I don't know if that's the best idea, but like, I'm like, I had people like that, they wanted to know how to buy my CD, so they just Googled my name in Wichita, and that's when the first thing that popped up was
yeah, because your CD is on there. You're pictured with it on our website.
Oh, my.
So,
the show's working.
At least you could tell people how to buy your CD then, right now, and then at least you'll get something out of it.
Oh, you know, that's a funny story.
But this dummy over here did a whole show. He broke it down, and he's like, I can't believe I get grief. And I'm like, Joel, you lovingly described a girl's vagina.
I didn't.
Wow.
You did a whole, like, 10-minute segment on a vulva.
A girl that you'd seen while you were broken up?
I was talking about generalities of vagina.
Yeah, sure you were.
Oh.
And there's good ones, there's bad ones, there's nice ones.
Sure.
And then we talked about my girlfriend's friend's boobs, because she was in the hot tub.
Yeah, and I got shit about that,
and
too.
And she loves that, though.
She does.
I heard you talk about my boobs.
Yeah, she loves it, but my girlfriend doesn't love when I talk about another girl's boobs.
And grief. And then you're like, why don't you ever tell stories, Corey? I'm like, because I'm not an idiot.
Why is it, though, why is it that girls, like, think about it, like, could be offended if you look at the girl's boobs or whatever? Because let's be honest about guys. The girl could have the best boobs in the world. The girl could have the ugliest boobs in the world. If he could fuck her, he'll still fuck her.
It doesn't give me less potential
because more guys are in that pool.
I'm thinking about boobs. I would, you know, that would be a deal breaker.
No, but there's girls with nice boobs.
What kind of fried eggs would those have to be? What kind of?
No, they have to be sliding off her chest. But at the same time, if you saw a girl with really great boobs, you probably wouldn't fuck her if the circumstances weren't right anyway.
Right, right.
So, I mean, it's not like, why do girls get offended if you like a girl's boobs? It's like, man, you know, like, oh, that's a beautiful building over there, you know, like, or that's a nice sunset, you know what I mean? It's
right,
like,
if the girl says, he smells really good, I'm gonna throw a fit about that?
Yeah,
I like his hat. Oh, no, we're throwing down now because you like something?
He has nice eyes or something.
Right.
It's like, what's the difference? If a guy talks about a girl's boobs, I don't see the harm in that.
Yeah.
But listen, okay.
But you talked about a girl's vulva.
Would you? I did that. People go back and listen to that show. Shut up. You don't even know
you
what
did
you
did, too.
You're just trying to get me in trouble.
It's like a beautiful pink flower.
I didn't talk about any particular girl. And I'm turning your mic off.
You were just talking
Steve's
about
trying to talk about his CD.
No, I was actually talking about something that was interesting, is that...
You know, maybe the authorities.
Not that my CD's not interesting.
Yeah, it is.
He might still be wanted in Wichita.
No.
You know, maybe the authorities heard this show.
This is what this story's about. That's what I'm going to tell you. I got booked back to play in Wichita at a different venue than the one before. And I was concerned about it. I did some research, you know, to see.
You were just banned from the local club, right?
Right.
They just said they'll call the police if whatever.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Right. I could have, you know, but yeah, I could be.
If you didn't hear the story, go listen to show 55. It's all out there. But yeah.
But I was booked to do it, and I was a little bit nervous. I didn't know what this, you know,
Steve,
what could happen.
Steve ate a girl out at a bar. But go ahead. You can tell the story. Okay.
Exactly. But anyway, I was booked back to go in to do it, and it was supposed to be in a couple weeks, and I just got canceled yesterday off that gig. And I'm wondering, like, did they find out the story or what? Like,
is the rival club
it's
still
a travesty
open?
Of a mockery of a sham, of a mockery of a travesty of two mockeries of a sham.
It sure is. No, but I mean, did maybe like somebody at that club get wind that you were coming to town and they say, well, did you hear what he did last time he was here?
That's what I wonder. I don't know.
That's a possibility.
Because when I get canceled, nobody ever tells you why you get canceled.
No, they never do.
It's always some crap. Although, actually, I try to be honest with people as much as I can.
Sure.
But, you know, Yoder,
that's all right.
Are we allowed to talk about that? He's like one of those examples that drive me nuts.
You mean that guy from Star Wars?
Yeah, exactly.
Yoder?
Well, he'll tell you. He'll
go, in a swamp, little Muppet.
Canceled. He's canceled got this... from Toledo, you are. Is that? Yeah, that's.
He's got a vague, you know, letter grade system that makes no sense whatsoever. Right. Because I've seen, like Toledo as an example, and I'm not here to rip on individual comics, but I could. I have not played back there as a headliner in 3 years.
Okay.
It's the town I live in. Yeah. I live a block from the freaking club.
Sure.
It's absurd that I'm not there. Everybody in the staff loves me. We hang out. I mean, they call me up to go to bars not working. I assume that they like you, you know. I've always gotten good laughs. I've always had good sales there. There's absolutely no reason for
me not to
be
there. Are you too familiar because you live next to the club?
I haven't played there in 3 years. I mean, but you know what I mean? That's not – but there's a comic, say – John Rathbone. Let's just throw that name out.
Okay. If you want to throw out a generic comedy name that's not specific.
Some random
to an individual. Yeah. If you want to make up a name, go ahead. Make up John Rathbone.
I'm just saying, this particular made-up name has been at the club 6 times since I've been there.
Yeah.
I've never seen him have a good show.
Right.
The whole staff hates him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no way he's getting a better report than me.
Sure.
And there's no way that he is getting... They're based on that reason. That's a bunch of crap.
I think when you have a report system, it only exists as a fail-safe. It's a way to cancel people and say, well, your report wasn't good. But you wouldn't know because you didn't see the report.
Right.
And who knows what the report said.
Right.
You know, he's the only one that knows what the report says.
But every once in a while, you get a report that you go, yeah, I can see why they had a problem with me. You know what I mean?
You know what?
Yeah.
You can have a great show and walk off and get a bad report.
All the time. Absolutely.
And you and I had that situation with the room where you're like, Joel, you got a bad report. And I went like, well, how come the guy said he wants to have me back at the end of the weekend?
Right.
Is he lying there or is he lying in the report? And
who's doing the report? Because, like, you can kill and have – and the audience loves you. And then whoever's writing the report, like – say it's the manager's daughter or something, or their nephew, or some dude off the street. They don't
but
like.
But other people too. That if they have, if the turnout isn't good, they'll be in a shitty mood because they lost money or something.
Sure,
then when
reason.
The report goes, it's like they're just in a shitty mood and it wasn't good. But you know, 10 people don't laugh as well as 100 do either. So if that's the case, you're going to get a
Plus,
and the situation that we were talking about with you, that's a funny situation too because that guy, that club owner, is very difficult to work with because he will tell things to comics and then tell me something different.
Right.
And then the comics keep coming to me. Like, he'll tell this guy, oh, yeah, I'd love to have you back in November. Give Steve a call. And he'll call me going, like, I don't care if I ever have that guy back again. And I get this guy calling me going, he said it to me. And I'm like going, how do you say?
Can you tell him, like, just tell me, you know, just don't promise these guys that they're coming
back? That's what I've been trying to tell him. And he goes, I go, just tell them to contact me for bookings. That's all you have to tell them. Just tell them to contact me. Don't put a pressure and a date and stuff on it for me. You know, don't say in 6 months or in 3 months or in a year or anything. Just say, just contact me and I'll do my job. But he'll go, oh, this guy's a friend of the club. And I'm like going.
Is he one of those guys who, like, kind of wants to book it himself in a way? Or because, I mean, I guess if you were the owner or the manager of the club, you do have some say in who's there.
Well, here's the reason why I disagree. Because since I... took over booking the club.
Yeah.
His entire status of, like, he used to rank people, like, in order who he liked the best, whatever.
Right.
Well, the first 6 weeks of people that I put in there moved to the top of his list of people that he liked.
Right.
You know, so it's like he likes what I'm doing. I'm upgrading his talent.
And therefore the
like
comics are good. And again, it's this all psychological shit where when the business is good, he's liking the comics more. And when the business is bad, he doesn't like the comics.
But it's not like... Some of the comics that he said things to are comics that are good. Like a couple of the comics he said things to, I talked to him, I go, are you serious about this? Because I would never book this person in your room. I wouldn't lower myself to that point, you know what I mean? I got plenty of guys, like, if I have 300 comics potential, he'd be number 289 to play
Fuck
your
you,
room.
Fuck you, fat asshole.
Hey, but, is that what
he's... Oh, wait.
But you know what I mean? It's like, there's certain people...
Is that for the club manager? I know that guy.
But, you know, I'm just saying that there's certain people, I'm like going, I don't know this is the guy you want back in your room right away or whatever. And he'd be like going, oh, well, we got along. I go, it doesn't matter if you get along. Yeah.
I don't know if I want to spend the whole show on comedy, but this is such a point.
But this is just a lot of people don't realize the behind-the-scenes shit
this is inside baseball.
To go through.
Right.
Very often, the people who make the decision, now you are a comedian,
right,
and you book rooms yourself.
Right.
So you have an expectation of what you want out of somebody.
Sure.
And you know who can deliver.
Sure, absolutely.
That is not the case at a lot of comedy clubs.
That is absolutely not the case.
The people who book the comedy clubs might not even have any background in comedy.
Oh, absolutely not. And
or they're abject failures.
Sure.
Either you book a comedy, they're like, I tried to be a comic, I was terrible. But they want to be in the business, so
right,
they book a comedy room. No one goes and gets an MBA and comes in and goes, I want to run a comedy club.
But
no, it's all alcoholics, losers, and failed comics.
I've seen there's a lot of people doing this, too, that I don't like, which is who can do the best for me gets the work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which, to me, I made a decision early on is that I'm going to try to hire who I think is going to be best for that show each time.
Sure.
I can do it. Not, well, this guy can get me into this other club, so I'll book him here. Or this person can
do
that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And that must help you, too. But, I mean, do you play that game? I mean, you must play it.
I don't.
Bit. No?
I've never played it once yet, and it's actually hurt me a lot because
you won't use a guy who's just got a room, like a guy.
Right. Well, I've had people that have rooms that I'll say, they'll go, well, I'll give you this week if you give me this week. I go, well, I'm not going to do it like that.
Yeah.
That's not the way I do it. And they get mad at me, and I don't get the work. Even though if I didn't book rooms, I would have gotten the work.
Sure.
You know, so it's hurt me on easily a dozen occasions, I can tell you.
Well, so it's
you're a wounded man with
the girlfriend and no work.
God.
What do we do with Steve? He's
usually you're a wild, energetic, sexual tyrannosaurus.
You're taking it out of
usually
context.
Usually you're just tearing heads off and screaming. And now it's this.
No,
the softer side of Satan.
I've actually gotten to a point that it's like my booking thing right now is doing really good.
Okay,
like it's too much work for me right now.
Really,
but I also don't have the time to train somebody else to help me.
Sure.
But it's also hurting, because I'm spending so much time on that, it's hurting my actual comedy career, because I don't have time to book the good shows,
sure.
So I just get the fallout of what's left over.
So quit. That's what I say.
Turn it over to me and Corey. We have all the time in the world.
But it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you got this and you got that, so it's like, it's hard to keep these balanced. But I end up working probably 80 hours a week doing the booking stuff.
And that's why we need a girlfriend and a business manager.
That'd be great.
So if you're looking to date Mr. Steve Sabo, please contact us at Corey and Joel. Email.
I need a smart girl
radio.
Without a job with a great rack.
If you can type 60,
okay.
You can type 60 words a minute and have a D cup, call Steve Sabo at Inside Joke Productions.
Do I make you a little horny?
Oh, I might.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can go work for Steve. But speaking of Sabo's booking, if you want to see his booking in action, and I know we have fans because we got an email from a guy up in Bay City. I'm going to be up there November 11th. That's coming up.
I've been at the
Washington Lanes. Is that the name of that place?
Yeah.
Washington Lanes. I don't know the exact time, but you can call them at Washington Lanes.
Make sure you go upstairs because when I did that room, I went in and I went into the Tejano Lounge.
Yeah, they have.
And they had like a band, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. The
mi corazón querido.
Well, the actual comedy club is above a bowling alley, and they have some other entertainment going on.
I went into the wrong spot,
nice
and I went,
room.
Walked in, and we're like, what the?
What did he book me into?
There's 180-year-old cholos in here dancing. What's going on?
Explain to him what a cholo
there
is.
There were really about seven, because it was Bay City, and there can't be that many Mexicans. Cholo is just like, you know, a low-class dude.
Oh, okay.
A low-class, like, Hispanic guy.
It's a derogatory term for
But anyway, November 11th in Bay City at the Washington Lanes. I'll be there. So come see me. And say hello, because I know we have
the
some
room
fans
itself
up there.
Is nice upstairs.
Yeah, right, it's a very good place. I've done it many times, and you've had that room for a couple of years now. It's
yep, I've had
well.
It for a couple of years.
And I've played there many times, and I've always had good shows, so you can come see me there. Mm-hmm. November 11th up in Bay City, Michigan.
All right.
So let's. Why don't we take a little break here,
absolutely.
And we'll come back. We're going to talk about the road, because this is a good road story that I got off. This is off the AP about Chris Rock's mom. So it ties into comedy
times.
And the road, and you'll understand
and
why.
And then maybe we'll talk about something that doesn't relate entirely to the comedy.
Maybe we'll talk about pussy some more with Sabo.
Well, you know, that's a topic everyone can enjoy.
All right,
so why don't you play some more Killers for me, Corey? And we'll be back with some more show after this. Hey, we're back now. Hey, yeah. Oh, hey now. Corey and Joel Radio with you. We're back.
Oh,
we were just talking to Steve about MySpace. He's on. Yeah, you can get our MySpace page. We've announced that a couple weeks ago. We did that on the show. So Corey and Joel Radio on MySpace, that's our name. So go be our friend if you like the show. Tell us you love us.
Yeah. Live.
Steve's on there.
Go
you
ahead
can
lie,
go to our me. Page and link up with Steve and be Steve's friend.
Yep.
I'm sure he'd appreciate it. And then you could be friends of probably everybody else on the show, like Rob, I think, is on there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sherry Brooklyn.
Everybody
and a lot of people
on the show is
are on
friend.
The show or is, on our, is our friend. So fair you can go communicate directly with our fans of the show.
Got to get Lundy on there.
And get on the forum, too. We'll discuss this show on there. And,
sure.
Steve will pop in and
sure, absolutely.
Give his thoughts. But we were just talking about we watched the Ultimate Fighting Championship last week,
right?
And
absolutely.
Steve is a fan, and you had some thoughts about
like,
it. And
I'm all right. Here's the thing: I'm a huge Ultimate Fighting fan. Now, this you okay. laughed when I first mentioned
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I know,
but I'm going to tell you why. Because my high school wrestling coach was Mark the Hammer Coleman.
Okay,
not that makes would make me
really?
A good, sure. yeah, yeah.
But you said in the break, which nobody heard.
Yeah, I'm saying that I kind of like I would want to enter. I've been toying with the idea of possibly entering like a tough man contest.
Okay. I don't think he's that old though, no. isn't he?
Mark Coleman is
he's 40 something. Yeah, so he's older than you.
He's 42.
Yeah,
43.
He's in his 40s.
So how is he a high school wrestling coach?
He was in his 20s when he did it. Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
When I was in high school, I had a 19-year-old. Like he was an assistant.
He wasn't
coach.
The head coach, but
yeah.
this was like he was on and right before he went to the Olympics, he coached.
Oh,
in my,
okay.
My school.
All right.
I mean, But Coleman, that was it. And I took karate as a kid, you know
okay.
what I mean? And I watch all the things.
I don't
things.
Know karate, but I so. Know crazy.
But now listen, to this. My high school wrestling coach was a Ultimate Fighter. I took karate as a kid. Not that I'm any good at it.
Okay.
But I watch all the shows, and I used to bar fight yeah. a lot when I was like 19. I've got anger issues now.
Okay.
Now, so,
Napoleon syndrome, they call
well,
it.
Well, yeah. I mean, but you're not a. But you'd have to find something where they have a weight class.
They do have weight limits.
Because you're not
like
a big. I don't know how no. much you weigh, but you're you know.
I'm 5'9", about 180.
5'9", 180. Okay, so. Yeah.
I could drop a little bit.
I'm looking at Corey.
What class is the what weight class?
That would be middleweight, probably. Yeah.
That's faggot stuff.
But
you want to call it by its name.
Look,
that's
if me and Corey signed up for a tough man contest, yeah, maybe you should enter that one. Other than that,
no,
I'd say stay away.
What I'm saying is that I look at it like
I
this.
I will say this. There was recently this guy, Yui Boll, who
yeah.
makes the worst movies in the world.
Okay.
He's this horrible director of does like video game movies.
Sure.
You know, like the zombie movie. He challenged his critics to fight him.
Right.
And like five like internet critics like took the challenge and he beat their asses.
Yeah, did he really?
I would have fought the guy.
I wouldn't have fought the guy if the guy's a trained boxer.
Right.
I mean that's like you know what I mean it's like somebody saying like, well, I'm a director but I'm also a trained boxer.
But you don't know. But
it's easy to beat critics, is what I'm
yeah.
saying. But.
The point I'm making is that you watch a lot of the Ultimate Fights, and you go, I can do that. That doesn't look that bad.
Really?
And if you got beat, you'd be like,
no.
Oh, big deal.
How
Here's
does that
thing.
Not look
but
bad? I see guys' blood spurting
no,
out
of
their
some
of
them
heads.
Don't look bad, but then you all right, look at the one with I know they you just look at some of the guys. Sometimes it's blood, sometimes it's whatever.
Sure.
The last Rich Franklin fight, that's what I was trying to
yeah,
explain.
Yeah, Rich Franklin got his ass kicked.
That made me rethink it up to a second and go, I mean, he got
well,
his ass
here's the thing about
him.
That. You can be a great wrestler, and you can train. But the thing that you're not going to have happen in your training is getting punched full on in the face.
Right, absolutely.
At full speed, and
absolutely.
How you react to that is going to determine how well you would do
absolutely.
In that situation. Some guys can get punched in the face full on by a 250-pound man and be fine
no,
with it and
absolutely.
Go on. And some people get scared, and it
but
hurts.
But that's why I'd like to try.
See, you've gotten
to
punched
find
in
out.
The face by a 250-pound woman. one night in Wichita. So I'm sure you could probably take a man.
I wrestled in high school as well, and a lot of these guys are, you know, high school collegiate wrestlers.
Right,
wrestlers.
Right, right.
And I see where you could make the transition, but it's at the same time, it's like, you know, it's the inch, the risk of the fear is what's going to kill you.
But I'm not saying jump into the ultimate fighting. Like
right.
I'm talking about like an easier level, you know.
Like a boxing, like an amateur boxing.
Yeah, one of those things where anybody can go up, but you have the weight limits and stuff.
Yeah,
and
maybe
see if
in
I
the
could
earlier days of UFC when it was like a little more wild open and big fat guys could get in there and fight.
Right. Well,
but now all these guys are like these hyper robot athletes. They eat like one chicken breast and a sweet potato a day.
And they run
8 miles in the morning.
But they also know all these submission holds and they'll break your arm if you don't.
But I mean, I know some of the moves. I mean, I watch.
I almost want to wrestle Sabo just for right now.
All right, let's go.
I'm not saying I would beat Sabo. I was a high school wrestler though.
Right.
Capable guy.
Why don't you thumb wrestle?
But what I'm saying,
I have a bad back. I'm not going
to
wrestle.
What I'm trying to say, and you're not hearing this. I'm not saying that I can.
How about arm wrestling?
Beat all these guys. I'm saying that, like in like that the tough man contest, those little random things where anybody can go up. I'd like to try it just to see how I would do.
But you have some feeling inside of you that you would do well.
I think I could do okay. Yeah,
because I have a feeling of how I do it, and it's not good.
Well, I mean, like, for example, when I was bar fighting, not that, like, that sounds bad, but I used to get drunk a lot and pick fights, and I never lost a fight that I didn't know I was going to lose going into it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I never lost a fight that wasn't with a guy that was huge.
Guys at bars are drunk.
Well, yeah.
And you can I'm never as drunk as the guys that are going to get in a fight at a bar.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Sure.
I'm drunk, I'm usually more sober than them, and I presume that I can get out of the way of their punch because they're drunk and do some damage. If I stepped into a steel cage with, like, these guys that, like, you know, all they do is they just jerk off into a bucket and do down-ups all day.
But wouldn't it be fun anyway just
a combination of, like, tears, urine, and blood would shoot out of my body the first elbow I got to the face. I would just be so amazing.
Anyone can win every fight if you pick who you're going to fight.
Well,
when it's not up to you, then when you have to fight somebody you don't want to fight, then that's when the problems start. Like, look, I can handpick guys and beat their ass. I mean, you know, no problem about that.
But how do you know
Look, you're not a guy that can't beat anyone's ass. I'm not trying to say that.
Well, no.
But there's guys that are training to beat up anybody, and they're going to beat you up.
Well, I could lose.
That's you after the fight.
Yeah. I'm not saying I couldn't lose. I'm saying I'm not afraid to lose. That's what I'm saying.
This is a weird side of Sabo today.
We never really knew.
I don't know what's going on.
I just get anger issues, and I would like to beat somebody legally. That's what I would like to do.
I think you should do what you should do is just like Andy Kaufman. You should wrestle women.
Wasn't Mike Tyson going to fight women? I saw that recently.
I think you would kill some bitches. You would just smack them around.
For my size, I'm in decent enough shape. You know, I got good arms and chest. I can.
But you're going to be fighting maybe 19, 20-year-old guys for
maybe,
one.
Maybe.
And you're what? You're in your 30s. 34, right? You're 30. So, yeah, I mean, you're not going to be able to.
I'm not saying I had a stamina the last five rounds, but I think I could.
I'm not trying to tell you you're an old man, Steve.
Maybe you should just work on the getting laid thing. You know, maybe go back to that. You know, you seem to be successful at that.
You guys are peeing on my dream.
No, but it's kind of like this.
We like you, and we don't want you to be murdered.
Look,
in a ring.
It's kind of like, you know, if you pick who you like, you know, chicks you can bang.
Sure.
Then there's chicks you can't bang.
Yeah, but don't you try?
Know your weight class.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. You know there's chicks you can't bang.
Sure.
That's why we bang comedy club waitresses. We know they're there. You know you can get them.
It's so true.
But sometimes you don't always hit on the stripper because maybe the stripper's not going to fuck
you. But every once in a while you're going to get the stripper.
Or the hot chick at the club. Well, I know.
It's going to happen.
If I got to do more work than, you know, buying some chicken rings and a Heineken, I'm out of there.
Right. I mean, you know, you're
going to get. No, of course not, honey.
You're going to get punched in the face.
Here's what Corey apologizes to his girlfriend, like a little pussy name.
What do you apologize? You don't have to apologize.
I'm not.
Right.
Screw her.
I'm just saying in a general sense, there's we have limits. We know what they are.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
And you should know that that's not a place for you.
But all right, but look at it like this and think about it for a second. Remember, look at Fight Club. And I know we're not supposed to talk about Fight Club.
All right.
But if you think about it,
you're so insane.
That's what I'm talking about.
Corey,
something
is this
where you
the
can
craziest
just,
thing you've ever
where you
heard.
Can just start,
this is a little wild.
Sabo wants to fight guys.
Come on. Just a little beat down. Wouldn't that feel good to be hit and hurt? To wake up the next day and know where you. Come on.
Okay, but let's say you sign up for this thing and it's on a Wednesday night.
Sure.
And you get the shit beat out of you.
Sure.
And you got to go do comedy Thursday, Friday, Saturday at a club. What don't you think that would be? And don't you feel like that's reason enough to not do it?
Well, I haven't signed up yet. I think I would do some training first.
I guess so. But I mean,
can you skate?
Like ice skate?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe you should get into the men's over 30 no check league and take out a little pressure.
Yeah, there'll be some fist fights there. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you can...
Steve, I'm not trying to tell you you're an old man, but, you know, guests on this show usually get Toffee Fae. I couldn't find any today, so I got you a Werther's Original.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a fair enough thing.
Nice.
A Werther's Original.
Nice.
That's the old man candy of choice.
You know... No.
Literally, I couldn't find Toffee Fae. And so I got a Werther's Original.
I just think you shouldn't. I think when you reach a certain age, you shouldn't fight anymore. And I'm at that age. I'm the same age as you. I'm not fighting anymore. Corey, I don't think. I can't. When was the last real fist fight you were in?
Oh, it's been a while.
Yeah, I can't remember. As long as I've known you, aside from like guys who've tried tackling you on stage and that kind of stuff, I've never really known you to be in a fist fight.
No.
I guess I just, when I see it on TV, I'm like one of those guys that I see it and you go, man, that'd be fun just to see, you know? Because some people, they get beat up. Like Rich Franklin got this demolished in 90 seconds.
Yes.
I can get demolished in 90
seconds. Rich Franklin would beat up all three of us at the same time.
Oh, easily. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
I'm not real worried about, I was actually not bad at fighting.
Right.
I'm a decent-sized guy, and when I was younger, and I would get in fights at the bar and stuff like that.
Sure.
I could handle myself fairly well, but I just, if there's something called cops.
Yeah, you know what?
I am a giant, giant pussy when it comes to legal issues and police. I hate them, and I want nothing to do with them.
I agree with that.
So there's no dude at the bar. I don't have enough anger and aggression in my soul
I mean,
to want to punch
them. That's what I'm talking about, though.
But you should. But do you feel like you have that anger still? You feel like you have that fire in you that you want to do it?
I do, and the reason, it's because, here's the thing, is I have so much stress in my life, and I get so angry about stuff, you know, that I just would like to work out that steam. I bought a heavy bag. This is how stupid I am. I bought a heavy bag recently, and this is how stupid it is. I hung it from my ceiling, and apparently I hung it wrong because I was just beating it, and it came off the wall. This is how much rage I had. It went flying. I tore off a big chunk of my ceiling.
Did you rent an apartment?
I rented an apartment, yeah. When it fell, I leapt on it, and I started elbowing it. Look, that's why my elbow's all messed up. Do you see, where it's still scabbed up here? Look what I did.
What goes on
that
in your...
there, it looked at the knuckles. That's from the heavy bag. I just tackled the
tell you to get a pet, but you'd probably kick the puppy across the street.
I did get a pet recently, actually. I got a puppy, actually, too. Yeah.
I want you, in the sound of my voice, to please respond. Steve Sabo needs a good fucking...
Yeah,
Someone needs to blow
Sabo, because this is going to... Listen, I was almost in a fist fight. We talked about that on the last show.
Right.
At your Christmas show, a guy wanted to beat my ass. And it was not even a fight that I mean, I guess I started it in a verbal sense, but there was never like... I never raised my hand at the guy in anger.
Right.
But the guy wanted to fucking kill me.
Right.
And I wanted nothing to do with it.
Right.
Not only was he a bigger guy, and I would have fought if I would have had a reason to.
Sure.
Even against a guy that was bigger than me in that case. But if that guy would have done that to you, well, what would you have done? Because, I mean, you're saying now that you have this anger because you actually stepped in for a minute and sort of broke it up and that. And
the problem being he's a friend of mine, and I wouldn't want to fight a friend.
Okay, but if somebody got in your face, like he got in my face, you would have fought him.
Probably.
Okay, see, I didn't. See, I guess that's the difference between me.
Because I don't like people getting in my face.
I guess you are wired a little differently.
There's very little reason to get in a fight.
Because I can, you know, come on the show and call him a douchebag and that. And
Right.
Oh, it's funny, ironically, following up on the story, I've heard that somebody talked to the guy about that, and he said, oh, yeah, I was a complete asshole about that, and I shouldn't have done it.
About
that he now has regrets about.
Oh, yeah.
He now admits that he was an asshole about that.
He does
admit
that.
Yeah, okay.
Steve, I'm starting to worry about you, though. I'm just picturing, like, you at home watching American Ninja 3 again and, like taking cold showers and furiously masturbating and just, like, tears streaming down your face.
Do you feel like when you're watching Ultimate Fighting that you want to do it? Does that make you want to do it the more you see of it?
Kind of, because this is what I do when I watch it. This is going to sound silly, but... I can, like, the two people that match up, I'll study their style or whatever they see, and I can tell you almost to a T what their fighter's first move is going to be, how that guy's going to react.
You're a handicapper.
Like, yeah, I can tell you exactly who's going to win. The last one that was the fight I watched in a bar, the whole Matt Hughes and...
the BJ Penn, Matt Hughes.
I called every single fight in every single round and the way the person would win, every one except for one of the fights, or the eight fights
I kind
of
did that the other night.
Do you agree with me, though, that Brazilian, excuse me, I can't talk. Brazilian jiu-jitsu is just done because guys have figured out how to get around that?
It's not done because more fights end with arm bars and chokes.
But guys
than
who do that
else.
Strategy of dropping into the guard immediately.
Oh, just that? If that's their only thing?
I don't know if I buy that anymore. I don't know if that gimmick works.
You know, it used to be, right, it used to be ground and pound used to be the game. Then they changed some of the rules. And then jiu-jitsu took over. Now, I think it's going to be it's a lot more.
I think it's wrestlers and grapplers and then real good strikers.
All right. The two of you can't beat up fucking anybody, all right? We need to – we're dorking out too much on fighting. Let's talk about something we know.
And that would be what? The View? I was watching The View.
Oh, no, let's talk about
– And that's such a good show.
Well, Sabo probably sees a lot of good – Have you seen the Rachel Ray show? We've been bouncing it off, I guess.
I haven't – I've not seen the show.
You're like in a days in somewhere in a
I used to watch
field.
Her
30-minute
cooking segments. Yeah. And she's freaking hot. She's got the best ass on cooking. I don't know.
Maro.
All right, we'll leave that.
You don't think she's hot?
You know what? We'll leave that for what it is. I don't – look, if she put her right in front of me naked, I'll bang
her. I think Rachel Ray's hot. She's in my top 10 girls I'd like to bang right
she's
now.
She's an annoying cunt. That's my opinion.
Your top 10?
Who else is in that top 10?
We
might need to get Sabo's top 10.
She'd be in my top 10 if – there were 20 women left on Earth, but I mean...
You gotta be kidding me.
Oh. I wanted to talk about Chris Rock's mom. Tell me what 10... Just give me... Maybe not 10. Off the top of your head. Aside from Rachel Ray, who do you want to fuck?
Jessica Alba.
Okay, well...
Okay,
yeah,
reasonable.
Okay.
Who else is on my list? Now I can't even think of anybody. What's her name? She was just on that the Dancing with the Stars thing.
Liz Serena.
No, not her. The other one. The Lita Willa Ford.
Willa Ford.
Really?
Ford. Yeah, okay.
Steve, you'd be a real good guy if we do our March Madness babe tournament again.
Maybe we'll have to bring that back next year.
Yeah, we'll do the hot girl bracket. And I'd like to see your 64.
Well, so you're saying
I'd like to see your ballot.
The list of girls you want to bang, Rachel Ray is maybe the only weird one on that list.
Sharapova would be on the list.
I want to bang Rachel Ray with a pan. I want to bang her upside the head.
This is what I liked about Rachel Ray when I first saw the cookie.
Oh, EVOO!
She just has these tight little pants, and she looks all like she could. She's like so so giving. She wants to please you.
That's a girl who swallows. I mean, I'm not going to argue.
She doesn't
about
seem
that.
Like the type of girl that would be bitchy in bed. She seems like she's so happy.
You didn't see her first episode where literally. She had a segment where girls came up to the microphone and told their stories about how much they loved her.
You probably have the recording somewhere on your computer if you want to look for it.
Oh, God.
It was all about, like, women told her that she had a cute purse and she liked her shoes.
Really?
And it was just women garbage.
What show number was that?
I don't
remember?
Even know.
I just
Who
thought
cares?
She was. I just think she's hot.
Okay, Sabo thinks Rachel Ray's hot.
I don't know.
And he also thinks he can beat people up. All right, let's move on. The guy's clearly delusional. He's
Apparently
a good comic.
Gone insane.
All right, let's go on to Chris Rock's mom. I told Corey this story earlier. I don't know if you heard this, but I think you'd relate to this because you're on the road and you... anyway, I'm going to summarize here. It says, Rose Rock, the mother of comedian Chris Rock, claims she was racially discriminated against when she was seated but ignored for a half an hour at a Cracker Barrel restaurant along the South Carolina coast. Rock said she planned to sue the Lebanon, Tennessee-based company. A Cracker Barrel spokesman said the restaurant chain was investigating and taking the complaint, quote, very seriously. Now, Corey, let's turn to you.
I actually had a bit in my act that I did for a while.
Corey has a bit in his thing.
There were three black guys that sued Cracker Barrel.
Right.
And I had a joke. I'm like, let's see if I understand this. You went to a place called Cracker Barrel and you were surprised that they didn't want to serve black people.
Right.
Cracker Barrel, for those of you that don't know, is a southern... It is a little bit in the north, but they're always, I believe, and this is even like a company thing, they're always outside the city limits, wherever they are. I don't think they're in like major urban areas.
They're usually right off highways.
And they're right off highways.
There's one in Roseville here. That's the only one in town.
Okay.
There's one about 2 miles from my house.
And it's right off the freeway, though.
Sure. It's right off. They have right off the freeway. And what it is it's a southern, it's like a home cooking sort of place.
Sure, absolutely.
But they also have a lot of crafts and shit for sale. Sure. And Corey makes a joke about a Conway Twitty tape.
Yeah.
That's for sale that brothers are going to be buying. I don't want to do the whole bit.
It's like a restaurant garage.
I'm going to revive that bit because now it's fresh
now
again.
Now you can say, instead of three guys, Chris Rock's mom. Now, but isn't it ironic, too, that Chris Rock calls people Cracker in his comedy act?
Sure, sure.
And then, but I mean, you've been to Cracker Barrels. You're driving around the country. Here's my
how many times do you eat
how many black guys
you probably
are
eat
in
a
there.
Cracker Barrel 30, 40 times a year.
No. I... Cracker Barrel, usually it's like, usually there's a wait and it's a big
it's not good for a comic know? That's
so I don't really go to that often.
All right, so maybe 10 times a
year. I'm more of a IHOP type guy, but Steve, I like the Cracker Barrel.
Steve sometimes you might not have an option though. You might have
maybe 5 times.
Most of the time you get the steak dinner at the strip club, right? I mean, isn't that usually the way that goes?
I'm not a big strip club person. I know you don't believe it.
Oh, right. Come.
I've gone.
Come on now.
Oh, we got to do another hour's worth
of
show.
We had to stop in a place in Indiana.
Yeah.
Where you could literally, like, this woman had cesarean scars that look like an oak tree.
Listen,
like you could count her lines.
You're missing this. I'm a bad strip club fan. Oh. I went to.
Oh, you're a connoisseur of bad.
A fan of bad ones.
The only reason we stopped at that club in Indiana was because it was a town of like 12,000 people. There's a strip club right next to a gas station, and it was open at noon. I mean, that's why I went there. It was like that's insane. Well, and like I went. I literally went to one in the UP of Michigan. It was called it was called Gold Diggers or something like that. But it was in a town called Spread Eagle, Wisconsin, and that's the only reason I freaking went
that's
there.
A good point.
It's like I love.
But
those
you know
kind
what? You are on the road a lot. You are on the road all the time.
Right.
You're gonna be exposed to some strip clubs. That's
sure,
just the way
I'd probably go to strip clubs more than I go to the Cracker Barrel.
There you go.
My thing with the Cracker Barrel story you're saying is that a black woman wasn't waited on for 30 minutes. Now. I'll be honest. I've been to bars where I stood at the bar with a $100 bill in my hand trying to get a drink for over 30 fucking
That's
minutes.
True. That happens,
and,
too.
But I'm white and a man, so that's no big deal. I've gone to restaurants all the time, and I get mistreated. Like that's what happens at freaking
that's
restaurants,
true.
Especially
that's
if you're by yourself.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know that she was by herself. I'm not going to read the whole story now, but they also talk about in their history, though, they discriminated against minority workers and fired gay employees, and that's things that they have owned up to in the past as a corporate policy.
It's the whole plan, the whole business plan of that place is we're going to be like the old time South.
Sure.
You know what they were like in the old time South?
They
wouldn't serve black people.
Woods and hang them.
But isn't part of the idea with Cracker Barrel is that you'll stick around for a while and you'll browse the garbage?
You're
going to
shop
around.
Yeah, I think so.
So I don't know.
You're
going to
buy those lace doilies and the Who Farted t-shirt.
So
and
does anyone think
then
anyone in this room believe that there is a conspiracy at the corporate level to discriminate against blacks at Cracker Barrel?
Of course not.
I just think they're badly run.
Okay. Yeah, and maybe even that waitress, maybe she didn't like the way the girl looked or didn't act, and she's like, screw that black girl, whatever. Right. But she could have said that to screw that Mexican girl or Chinese girl or white guy.
They
it
did
doesn't
clearly
matter.
Not want to hire gay people. But gay people shouldn't want to work at Cracker Barrel just because it's in bad taste.
Well, sure.
Just because they're going to have to, they don't want to work in a place that's covered in old-time Pepsi signs.
I don't believe it's racial. I just think at Cracker Barrel, though, they don't like people with big lips. And I just think... And I don't think there's anything racist about that. So anyway,
it just to me, it's just one of those things. It's look, you get bad service all the time. You can call me.
Joel's so pleased with himself over there. He's so happy
taking a bow over here.
If you want to pleased with himself.
If you want to talk bad service, look anywhere every day. How many times have you gone to a gas station and you can't get they make you come in to prepay your gas? You know,
sure.
A million times. Ugh. That's irritating. That's ridiculous. I called up TiVo the other day because. Get this one. This is true. My TiVo's not working now because I switched to a digital phone service, which is 90% of people have. Is it a digital phone service? And now, because of that, the TiVo thing won't connect properly.
Really?
So what TiVo told me, they said, you can either switch back to the old style of phone.
Yeah.
You know, change my phone for TiVo.
Yeah.
Or buy a $200 adapter so I can go through my computer.
Ah, I gotcha.
I'm like going, you're out of your freaking mind. that's not even an answer.
Well, there's poor service out there. I
everywhere.
Mean,
well, you know, I have DirecTV.
Yeah.
And we already had DirecTV in the house.
That's
I just
a satellite,
wanted,
though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to move a line into my room.
Sure.
We already had it in the house. It took them. We called them, and they took them about six. They gave us a date 6 weeks later.
6 weeks.
They actually send out a guy for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
sometimes
and they,
you have to do that.
And the guy they sent out, like, whatever. And by the time he got there to our house, one of our neighbors, like up the street, came running down and saw that there was a DirecTV truck. He's like, "I got it, man! I've been trying for 3 months to get DirecTV hooked up," and it was like, "Wow."
There is a lot of bad service out there. People are idiots, and what are you going to do?
And society,
and you know, but then you get sued over it because you're fucking.
But that's
you know,
my point.
Somebody,
you don't.
But you get
sue.
Somebody with money like Chris Rock's mom, who feels that they're entitled to something,
sure.
And maybe they will sue. She's got a lot of time on her hands. What the
That's
hell is
exactly
she going to do?
Word,
you know?
Though, entitlement. I'm so sick of people thinking they're entitled just because they're a woman or because they're black or because of anything. You're not entitled to crap.
Well, people feel that way, though.
Why?
You feel entitled to have your TiVo with your phone, but you're not.
I pay for it.
Oh, I understand that. Well,
that's an entitlement. That's a service.
That is sort of
for.
A weak argument on my part. All right.
I mean,
yeah, you've had better.
I think my big lip thing was a better stood up a little more. Was a little more cogent of a.
Man, so boxers
of an
can't
argument.
Be served there.
Ooh, I know. I haven't thought about that.
The Klitschko brothers. Did they get? Yeah, all you know. By the way, all the boxing champions right now are Russian.
I didn't know.
There are a lot of them. Valuev.
There's like, first of all, why can't they have one friggin' boxing champion?
Wasn't Tarver still in?
There's the WBO, the IBO.
Well, there's a million boxing leagues.
There's like so many different belts.
And Tyson had unified the things back in the
80s. At one point, but there's no unified champion.
Well, here's
there's Klitschko, Valuev, who's this like big 7-foot tall
gorilla. I believe
gorilla.
Lennox Lewis right. let it fragment. I believe he at one time held all the belts, and he right. sort of let one go, which ended up with sure. Klitschko, and then it ended sure. up with other people. But
they're all Russians.
But those are the only white guys fighting. They're the Russian. Those are the white. If you want a yeah. white guy to be champion, he's got to be a Russian guy at this point.
And there's like six Dragos out there.
I
with
said,
belts
we knew that
though.
Back in 84, right?
No, but I mean, there were white guys fighting. There was Jerry Coonies and those kind of guys, and they're
just couldn't
out.
Win. You know,
Tommy Morrison was a big white heavyweight. Type
he got
guy.
You know, Jerry Quarry was a good boxer. He just happened to be at the time when Frazier and Ali, yeah, and George Foreman, like all the greatest heavyweights
when
in the world,
when dinosaurs ruled the earth. This yeah. guy was running around.
He would have been a good. He would have been a good fighter any other time.
Well, you need. That's why I'm saying you need Russians, Quarry, or else whites are going to be out of boxing. And if you want whites out of boxing, that's okay. I'm
not, no, not ironically, though, with the
not in
the
lower
the pride
classes.
Fighting, some of the best fighters are Russian, too.
And, that's and true. Pride. There are a lot of guys. And, in fact, sure. white guys, in fact, if you are a white guy now, I think you're going to UFC instead of boxing. Because, really,
yeah,
all the UFC
much.
Guys, are the top guys, are generally
and
white guys.
And then you have Chuck Liddell, yeah. hero of the trailer parks.
Well, still, but
the,
I mean...
The voice of inner rage
Chuck
of hillbillies.
Liddell and,
Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz.
And he actually gets... I think you want to be Chuck Liddell. Because he actually gets to bang Willa Ford... And is the
yeah.
ultimate fighting heavyweight, light heavyweight champion.
I would, yeah, Chuck Liddell would be the type of
that's
would be,
the
yeah.
guy.
Because
are you willing to say that you would give up your comedy empire to be Chuck Liddell?
Not, well,
or would you be willing
you're more
to
of
give
a
up?
Randy Couture kind of guy.
No, I'm closer to Chuck because Chuck does his wild looping punches anyway. You know, Randy's
oh, right.
like Randy's like the sweet, you know,
it's
Captain
very,
America, American Pie.
It's very
you know,
much technique
guy.
And discipline. And you right. just want to knock.
I just
want to
knock somebody around. That's right. I just want to knock the crap out
wow.
of somebody. That's
hey guys, we've hit a new dorky level. On this show.
Steve, you have. If
I was talking about Battlestar Galactica last week, so I mean, you know, it's
yeah,
just,
things have intersected here that we never
great
thought
show,
would. Steve,
you know what's funny at Bowling Green last week? This is true. On Tuesday, I walked in the back room. There's a group discussion going on, and I swear to God, the discussion while I was just putting flyers up was about Warwick Davis,
yeah,
the Transformers,
sure,
and G.I. Joe.
Well, a lot of controversy with the Transformers movie.
Yeah, there is, actually.
Because they redesigned the Transformers right now, and now people are
sorry,
all upset about that.
You guys need me?
Yeah.
Do you guys
way,
need me? I'm going to step
way,
out.
Nigel.
If you guys need me, let me know.
Nigel was on the forums, and he cracked back at me because many times he tried to watch Battlestar at my house, and I was called him a fan.
Oh!
And now I'm really hooked on
now
that show.
You love the new Battlestar.
I've never
Galactica.
Seen the new Battlestar.
Yeah.
Just the fact that they...
I was a purist. When it first came on, I was like... No, if it doesn't have Dirk Benedict, I'm not.
I said they turned Dirk Benedict into a chick.
Yeah, I know.
And then the
Richard Hatch, who was Apollo on the old show, is on the new Battlestar.
Okay.
But he's a politician because he's an old.
But
guy.
the bad guys, the Cylons or whatever, are all hot chicks now too.
The Cylons made human style copies like the Terminators. That's just. It's a great show.
Look,
it's a good show.
We got like 10 minutes left. Have you fucked a girl up the ass in a hotel room lately? we expect that with Sabo. Now he tells us he wants to be an ultimate fighter.
But I've got a funny story.
Yeah, go ahead.
I shouldn't tell this story.
Oh,
go ahead. It's late in the show. It's late in the show.
Well,
Steve the Ball Slapper Sabo. What would your ring name be?
Well, I actually had a plan, actually. My plan was that, you know,
the
pre-fight. The
caffeinated voice of fighting.
Well, you know, the pre-fight interviews, though? You know?
Yeah.
Like, I was going to steal an idea from like Mike Green, where he called himself the Nutcracker. But like in the pre-fight interviews, I would just tell everybody to say, how are you going to win the fight? I would just tell him I was going to kick him in the nuts. And then the guy would be like totally like worried about being kicked in the nuts.
Yeah.
So I'd fake a kick to the nuts and
sure.
just start pounding the guy.
I
think I could win that
I
way.
Think your fighting style should be South Toledo ball smashing. That's your discipline.
Right, but I'm also a southpaw, which always has good potential.
Oh, okay.
You know, oh, yeah. Fighting.
You're a southpaw with like a 4-inch reach. You couldn't even hit me from here. No, I'm sitting 2 feet away from you. You couldn't even hit me.
Come on. Plus, the guy's full of rage. Look at Sabo. He's ready to explode.
I have no neck. You couldn't knock me out.
You know, you are pretty solidly constructed for a 4-foot-tall Jew. You really are.
I'm not a Jew, and I'm not 4 feet tall. I'm a 5'9 Italian Hungarian. All right, man.
Now, do you have a sex story or anything?
It's a non-sex story. But it's a funny story.
We'll take it.
So this happened fairly recently. Mm-hmm. I was working at this club in Grayville, Illinois, and it was terrible. It was like
really Grayville, yeah. Illinois had a shitty room.
I'd like to point out of all the states I visited, and I've visited 35, 40. Illinois is the worst outside of Chicago. You get 5 minutes out of Chicago, it's a hellish nightmare.
Well, this is a show where they required everybody to be squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But the average, there's only 8 people in the audience. The average audience member is about 23.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're heckling bad, and they're screaming profanities at the stage, but you can't do anything back.
Yeah.
And you got to be squeaky clean. And I'm not good at doing squeaky clean shows, so
absolutely.
So I was just featuring this show just to, you know, to make some extra money, because I'm not going to do an hour squeaky clean. I'm just not going to do it. And so I go down there, and I'm doing this thing. Now, the owner's sitting there in a rocking chair, like a recliner rocking chair, 10 feet from the stage, rocking, watching to make sure you're not messing up the show. And people – now, we got the staff is in the back of the room. That's like 20 feet from the front. It's a really small room. And they're talking and doing their own little thing. And we ask them to be quiet. They're not being quiet. They're just like doing their own thing. They're like, nobody wants to see you. Like, that's why we're
here.
So
that's a hell – it's a hell gig.
Okay. So there's a girl there. She was about – she's 40 years old. She said she was 40, but she looked 25. Like, she's like one of those girls like really good looking, whatever. But she is hammered like I know tomorrow. Now, she shows up with a guy. In the front row, and the guy loves my show. He's laughing at everything I do and going crazy, and she's drunk and she's laughing too. After the show, I sit down. Now, like I said, it's not a big room, you know, it's a small room. So she comes over and she's hitting on me during the other guy's act.
Wow.
And like, she's standing up, whatever, and she's like, come sit with me, like loudly. Come sit, like, oh, you got a guy over there. Come sit with me. I'm like, oh, please, just don't do this. Be, you know, whatever, right? So I'm like, God, this sucks. So anyway, I go and I sit next to her and just quiet her down. And she's quiet for a few minutes and everything's cool. And she's putting her arms around me. She's got her head in my lap at certain points. And the guy she's with gets pissed off, you know, kicks her out.
Yeah.
Right? Or not kicks her out, but he leaves.
He leaves. Now she's all yours.
Now she's abandoned at this hotel. She doesn't have a ride. She's wasted, all this kind of stuff. Right. So she's like, I've never had a one night stand before. Yeah. Are you gonna be good? I'm like, probably not, but you know, whatever. So anyway, we stumble back to my room. Immediately
Come
we
here,
get back to my room.
Oh boy. This won't hurt at all.
Immediately we go back to my room and she is so hammered. I go to the bathroom, I come back out, she's completely naked on the bed.
Wow.
Passed out.
Wow.
Now, obviously the potential there is she got undressed on her own. Do you go ahead and bang her, or she's passed out?
She came to your room expecting to get banged.
Right.
But now she's passed out, and if you do it, you never know what's going to happen yet.
Right. So you sit there and you debate it for a while. And I think the biggest debate is, should you just jerk off and blow it in her face or something while she's passed out?
Rock out with your cock out.
You know, you just sit there and you're like going, should I do that? And you're like going, but no, you just get kind of mad. You know, you're like, you're sitting there. So I'm playing around on my computer and I'm just like, this is freaking bullshit. Looking over occasionally, she's got this perfect body and she's passed out.
Yeah.
Like, fuck. So I'm playing on my computer. I'm not paying any attention. She gets up to go to the bathroom. I'm like, fine, whatever. And then I hear my door slam. And I'm like going, did that bitch just fucking leave in the middle? And I look over. Her clothes are still on the freaking chair.
So a naked chick is walking
She's
down.
Naked wandering the halls of the hotel. Now that's even worse.
Yeah.
Now I got some drunk, passed out chick who's naked in the halls at a hotel where they wanted the show to be squeaky freaking clean, and I look like the complete jackass. So I had to go out in the hall like freaking Dog the Bounty Hunter trying to track this freaking chick down, bring her back to the room, and
would you fight Dog the Bounty Hunter?
No way. I wouldn't even fight Beth. Are you kidding me?
His wife is beastly. That is a beastly wildebeest of a woman.
Did we ever find out? Is he out of jail now?
No, I believe he's still in Mexican prison.
That's a prison you want to be in. Mexican prisons, I'm sure, are great and wonderful places. You know what I mean? There was a movie about Turkish prison.
Yes.
Midnight Express. And apparently Thai prisons aren't very good either.
I'm sure those
are
bad,
too. Don't
want
to be there, no.
I saw that one.
Not that you want to be in prison anywhere.
I think I've heard Japanese prisons are bad. Yeah. I mean, prisons are bad.
I would maybe like Switzerland.
I've never been
in Switzerland.
Belgium.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Belgium. Have you ever been in jail, Steve?
Nobody tough in a Belgian prison.
Have ever been to jail?
Have you been in jail? Have you ever been like locked up just for something that happened and then you get out? Or
I was held for a couple hours for fighting once.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why you should get in the ring and focus that rage.
But I never had, you know.
You never did time. You
no,
just were
and
held,
not even overnight. Or
right,
anything.
I haven't either. So yeah. I'm good. I'm good like that. Corey, have you ever been to jail?
You know, no.
No, good. Me neither. Good. That's nice.
I've been to court. And
sure.
That's enough.
I've been to court a lot.
Court's not somewhere I like to be. So I was like, no. I'm not going to go any further. You know what? I don't need to extend this to the actual jail portion.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
Court sucks enough. I don't.
Oh, yeah, you do jury duty and you watch some guy. Like I was in jury duty and I didn't get.
No,
picked.
I mean in court. You know,
right, for
me.
You're the one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been in jury duty and it was like some guy who was some arsonist.
Sure.
And I was watching this guy going, oh, this sucks to be him.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to fucking be this guy. Because it's like, and they're like, you know, the, you know, it was like, and it was in July, and like, the offense had happened in like October of the previous year. And it's like, God, the guy's been locked up since then. And
the best part about court, though, when I went for this thing, and it was a bunch of crap this one time I went, because I had to pay a fine, but I got the fine late, so they suspended my license. But I didn't know it was suspended, so I got caught driving on a suspended license, even though I had no reason to think it was a suspended license. You know what I mean? It was like one of those.
Was this in
things.
The same state or was
this was in Florida? Yeah.
Oh, really?
It was all some cross thing that was a bunch of crap.
Sure.
But so I had to go to court for this thing, which I was kind of ticked off about. But they make you wait for your time to come up, and every type of case goes on there. And there's this girl that was up for prostitution. And she got yelled at by the judge because she brought her four kids with her to try to have the judge be lenient on her. And I'm like, well, wow, you brought your four kids to court for prostitution.
Right, yeah.
Wow.
It's classy.
Yeah, isn't it, though? I ain't got a sitter.
People take their kids anywhere. I was, you know, I'm at the movie theater all the time because that's my job. But there was a girl at like, the info desk, and this guy, there was a guy and his two boys. His boys were like 9, 10.
Mm-hmm.
This was a black, a member of the African American.
See where this is going. It's a black guy. Yeah.
And they're talking about, I don't know which movie they're talking about, but she's like, the girl behind the counter goes, well, you know, it's really violent and bloody.
Right.
And the dad goes, well, I've seen it. I know, but they haven't.
Wow.
And it was like the message.
The dad was trying to get the kids in without his supervision.
Like an R-rated movie. And it was like, the message was just not getting
into some horror movie.
Or he was like getting tickets from her or something. And it was just like, hello?
Yeah.
She's trying to warn you, don't take your 9-year-old to this movie.
Well, it's one of those things where I think if you're a parent and you have your kids, in some parent people's mind that they whatever they're doing is right for their kids,
sure.
Even if it's completely fucking wrong and everyone tells them it's wrong,
right.
It's still right because they're doing it. And the other person, forget about any sense of sensibility or even if they know the content of the movie, you're completely out of line in that case.
I see this a lot with black people.
Yeah.
Now, sure. White trash will do that too. They'll bring their baby to a movie and like you'll be like, whatever.
Right.
Poor people will do that all the time because they can't get a sitter.
Sure. Sure.
But like I'll actually see black people like they think they're such super parents that they can take their kid to,
No, I was in a, it was a Friday night. We saw a movie called The History of Violence. If you haven't seen it,
yeah,
sure.
A good movie. Totally, completely violent, like mob.
It's called The History of Violence.
It's called The History of Violence. You have a black couple with a little kid there. I mean, there's graphic oral sex scenes and anal sex scenes in this movie. I mean, sex scenes, nudity, all kinds of stuff. They don't give a fuck. They're like there with their kid with like one of those little kids meal with the little popcorn and the little like race car that you get at the movie theater. It's like, it's a history of violence. Don't let the goddamn kid in.
And that's why I call once again for colored movie theaters.
You realize you have a job in that profession and you make those comments.
I know.
You do see those things.
I kid. It's a joke.
What always got me about that.
I would
that,
never call them colored.
Have you ever noticed that they always, the black people always complain about not getting proper treatment and stuff like that. But.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
What was that?
Yeah,
but my point, they always show up late for stuff is my point. Right? They don't get the good seats.
That black people have a history of being late.
Like,
for stuff.
I'm thinking that the whole.
I want to be fair. We don't want to be racist, but I observe this all the time.
Sure.
This is first eyewitness accounts.
Sure.
Now, poor white people do this shit too.
Okay.
Low class, trashy people of all kinds do this.
Sure.
but black people in particular.
Went to a movie last night and black people walked in late.
But that's I don't understand. Like you sit there and you go, and they go like
45 minutes.
Right, I've seen that. But like, why? Like, I think that was the whole back of the bus thing way back then. It was just that they there was no other seats in the front. That's why they had to go to the back.
Well, folks, we've done it again.
We've been an all-time low.
Once again.
Save us with something from your computer there. What do you have? What do you have over there?
I want to play. This is what I was
Bring some sense to the show.
I
want to
play. Here's your dream woman, by the way.
My dream woman?
This is your top 10 woman right here. Rachel Ray.
Oh, here she is.
One more first. Can you pass it over?
Here you go, Steve.
You know, like papers and grades.
Keep your Woody at,
there you go.
At bay.
Hi. Hello. What's your name?
She's got a great
Jill
ass,
from New Jersey.
Jill of New Jersey, too. They're related.
Yes. My first story is the first time I met you. In
no
person.
Kidding.
How douchey is this?
No kidding. Where were we?
We were in Freehold in Barnes & Noble. My husband and I waited in line for 5 hours.
And 5 hours?
It was fine.
Rachel,
it was fine.
Yes.
It was well worth the wait. When I finally arrived to the desk where you were sitting,
yeah.
You actually pointed out my bag, my little purse. You said, cute purse. I said, thanks. I love your shoes. You had great shoes on.
What
you
a
said,
fantastic
thanks.
Story.
You signed my book. I walked away. I was so excited. I said, Rachel, please, can I just take a picture of you? You said, absolutely. And I have a great picture of you in a frame.
Yay!
At home.
Yay!
Wow. I still want to fuck
you. You have nice shoes. What is with women? What is you got to love each other. You got to kiss each other's
ass. But I love, like, you go to a celebrity's book signing.
Right.
And they were so nice as to sign your book. Like,
right.
That shows what a good person Rachel Ray is.
Right.
And she allowed a photograph to be of her taken.
You bought a copy of a book.
A media event, right. A publicity event.
It's not like she was
for your book.
At dinner with some friends and she signed your book.
Yeah, if you went out to hang out with Rachel Ray while she's having dinner somewhere and some forces, she's going to blow you off and not talk to you.
Right.
And she's not going to talk about how cute your ugly fucking purse was to make you feel good. She wants you to buy her goddamn book, and that's why she's there.
That is,
she's a two-faced cunt. I'm telling you, Steve.
Oh,
I'm doing investigations. I have a lot of things going on.
A Dateline.
Did
NBC,
I get to the bottom? Did I get to the bottom of the set and how the set? And she claimed that she had everything. She had purchased all of the stuff in her set, and it turns out it's all sponsored shit.
Right,
but you can go
right.
on her site, you can click on it, and you can buy it yourself, and she gets a cut. It's all phony baloney crap.
You know, another girl I like though. I just thought of her. I don't know her name though. She's the Ford girl with the minivan with the. She's tall with a light blue thing and the.
She's in a minivan commercial.
Yeah,
is she a celebrity?
Great voice. No, she's just really hot with a great voice. I want
to
bang.
Steve wants to bang random chicks in commercials.
Well, right. You know, hey,
but she's done at least two of those commercials.
Random girls in commercials. Girls who run knitting shows.
We have to go, Steve. Thank you for coming in. Plug your website or something. Where can
SteveSabo.com. I want my $2.net. InsideJokeProductions.com.
Aggressively.
We're gonna play more killers. Get out of here. Thanks for coming. Steve.
We
You're
saw a softer
great.
Side of Steven, and on the other hand, he wanted to beat people up.
Yes. We're gonna, next time you see Steve,
all over the map.
I had to butch it up after the first
time. He'll be whipping someone's ass. So thanks, Steve, for coming out. We'll catch you next
time.
Great,
Steve.
Seen it all. Bonfires of trust, flash floods of pain.